God's divine sufficiency for his work. In other words, the power of God is enough. Let us remember that. He is sovereign and his power is sufficient. It is all that we need. We can think of David and Goliath. Know how we have this giant, a man of war, a man of strength, a man of immense size and ability in warfare. And who goes out to him? A little shepherd boy with a sling and a few stones. Oh, how that giant mocked David and mocked the God of heaven. What is going on? Many would have thought. This young lad is going to be killed. But he went in the power of God.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and I'm Andrew Fitton, welcoming you today to our program, and I'm delighted to have you with us as we preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Oh,
You've been listening to Jehovah's Akenu by a choir from the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. Hello and welcome again to our programme. I'm Andrew Fitton and we're delighted to have you with us today as we consider the Word of God. Jehovah's Akenu was penned by a Scottish pastor by the name of Robert Murray McSheen. He lived in Dundee, Scotland during the 1800s. He pastored St. Peter's Church in the city, but he passed away at the young age of 29, leaving a shining example to the next generations of his love for his Saviour. Robert Annan was a man who attended that church. He was used in saving several individuals from drowning in the local river, but he's a man who was absolutely convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ had saved him from his sin. He had a firm faith, a steadfast faith in his Saviour, and he desired others to know the salvation of Christ through his gospel. He had a desire to tell others whom he saw day by day and ask them that question, where will you spend eternity? On the gate of his house, he wrote that word death. On the sidewalk outside his home, he wrote the word eternity. And as you take that step into the graveyard at St. Peter's Church in Dundee, there is a memorial to Robert Annan. And as you cross over the word eternity. And that question, that challenge comes to you today. Where will you spend eternity? Will you spend it with Christ your Saviour, Christ your Redeemer? Or will you spend it in hell, for you know not Christ as your Saviour? We come today to our pulpit in Cloverdale considering the second part of that message from yesterday, our glorious foundation as the Church of Christ. Thinking of Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it.
God, in his sovereign will, has given us the gospel. But notice here as well that Christ builds his church. I want you to turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And the verse 15. Here we have the great commission to the church of Christ. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And the Lord has given to his church a preaching ministry. In his sovereign will, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is how Christ builds his church, through the preaching of his word. And that is our responsibility towards those who are lost. Preaching the word, spreading the word, declaring the word of God. That is the mission of this congregation, to preach and declare the word of Christ. Christianity today, there are men who use all manner of gimmicks. I may have told you before about being in England, hearing about a Church of England minister. This is back the late 1990s, and he, as many churches in England have been facing, attendance was dropping. He wanted to bring the crowds in, and so he dressed up as if he was in the circus. He put a tightrope across the church. He walked in that tightrope, and he used that as his pulpit to preach. It's hard enough preaching, never mind worrying about your balance. I was preaching at a church one time, and there was a wall around the pulpit, but there's a step here, but the step started within the walled area. And so when I stepped toward the wall, I thought, well, the wall's here, the step's below, but the step was there, and I almost fell out of the pulpit. And I don't think I have that problem here. The boundaries are very well marked. I know where they are. But it's difficult enough standing to preach, never mind trying to bring the word of God without falling from a tightrope. It was a gimmick. The people came in to hear to see the pastor do this. The media were there because this had never been seen before. And then time passed by and people needed something else. And that something else grew old and they needed something else. The word of God should be sufficient for us. We don't need gimmicks. We don't need all these ideas of men. We can think of evangelism. How many push sinners to say that little prayer, pushing them into conversion. We're to evangelize, yes. And our brother on Friday evening emphasized that a sign of power in preaching was not raising your voice. But yet how many think it is, I need to preach so loud, I need to shout to get it through the minds of the unconverted, they need to be saved. You could shout till you're hoarse. It's not going to save their souls. There is a place for all manner of levels of the voice, of course. But power in preaching is not defined by a loud voice. It's defined by the presence of the Spirit of God, as our brother was telling us. Dear believer, salvation, the redemption of the lost, is Christ's work. God is sovereign in it. God will save his people. Our duty is to preach and declare Christ. To preach the word without gimmicks, without all these ideas. I think the other day someone said about a church with smoke, a smoke machine and whatever else. And I said, well, the only smoke that will be here is if there's something wrong with the audio equipment at the back and there's smoke comes out of that. Because these things are not part of what the ministry of the word needs to be. We trust in a sovereign God. We trust in his power. We are to preach, and the result, the blessing of the word to our hearts, the blessing of the word and the salvation of souls, that is God's business and that is God's power. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Secondly, I want you to see that we are reminded in this psalm of God's divine sufficiency for his work. God's divine sufficiency for his work. In other words, the power of God is enough. Let us remember that. He is sovereign and his power is sufficient. It is all that we need. We can think of David and Goliath. Know how we have this giant, a man of war, a man of strength, a man of immense size and ability in warfare, and who goes out to him? A little shepherd boy with a sling and a few stones. Oh, how that giant mocked David and mocked the God of heaven. What is going on? Many would have thought, this young lad is going to be killed. But he went in the power of God, in the strength of the Lord. And that power was sufficient. It was enough. It was all that he needed. We can think of Gideon and how he faced this great multitude with only 300 men. What did God do? God kept reducing his army. He already had a small army compared to the vast multitude. And God, in his sovereign will, kept reducing that army until Gideon only had 300 men. And what happened? There was the great victory because God's power and God's ways are sufficient. We can think of Jericho. They didn't storm the walls. They didn't go in and lay siege to that city in the sense of warfare. They marched around it as God had commanded. The walls fell down. And again in the word of God, we are reminded that God's ways are not our ways. God's thinking and His will is completely different to man's ideas. But His way is sufficient. And again, we can think of those gimmicks. Man thinks he needs something to attract people. Man thinks he needs to entertain in order to have worship. God says, worship me. Preach the word. Praise my name. That's all we need. And dear believer, the word of God itself, that word that we preach, is sufficient. And this psalm reminds us of this divine sufficiency. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Our labors, in and of ourselves, will never work. But it is the labor of the Lord that makes it not in vain. That's the sufficiency right there. The Lord is our strength. He is our power. What does the psalmist say? Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom will I trust? When we think of the Lord being sovereign, when we think of His strength and His sufficiency, are you trusting in Him? Dear believer, are you looking to Him? Are you looking to Him in life? For the work of God here in this place, are you looking to Him? Are you looking to Him? The Lord has brought us together as pastor and congregation. That is encouraging. That is, as some have said, exciting. We are looking forward to working together. But just because a pastor is here does not mean that this house will be built. This work will go forward. We need the Lord, primarily. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Dear congregation, what must we do? We must pray. Your pastor will pray for you. Pray for me. Pray for God's blessing. Pray for the Lord to be here. Pray for yourself that as this house is built, as God's work goes forward, and as we seek to evangelize and to preach the word, that in this work there will be opportunities there for you to serve as well, to pray, to support, to encourage, to go and to labor for Christ. Together. Oh, the Lord is sufficient. I want you to turn to Isaiah 40. And we see something here of the sufficiency of the Lord. Our time is moving on. We will be brief on our very last thought. But Isaiah 40, verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, the Lord is sufficient. We faint, we tire, but let us look for Him and His help and His strength. We're not to be Christians who are lazy. We're not to be Christians who rise up early and sit up late. Oh, if we rose up early and stayed up late, we would have very little sleep. The psalmist says, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. It's good to rest. It's good to rest before the Sabbath day. I remember in the last year I have preached on average almost every Lord's Day at least once, give or take. I also worked a full-time job that was tiring. Yet, going to sleep on the Saturday evening, preparing for the Lord's Day, was a blessed time. Everything needed to be done. All the preparing, all the preparation for the Lord's Day needed to be done. And it's the same with you. There's preparation to be done. And that brings us into the final thought. God's word is sufficient as well for us. But our third thought is this: we are reminded of God's divine sustenance for his work. God's divine sustenance. He provides for his church. He sustains his church. He feeds his people through preaching. And when we think of the Westminster Confession of Faith, there is a directory of worship in that confession that is our guide. And what does it say about preparing for worship? Yes, the pastor has to prepare, and the pastor studies, and the pastor prays. But it also teaches us that everyone should be praying. In their own homes, in their families, privately, that as they come to worship the Lord, that God would bless his word. That we would not come cold into worship, but our hearts would be warmed by the Lord. That we would have been praying that God's word would bless us, would encourage us. There are times when things may be hard and difficult. Things may be hard and difficult for myself as I bring the word of God to you. Maybe it might be a week of ill health and I'm still preaching. Maybe stresses and trials and difficulties and I'm still preaching. And the preaching may not be as good as it ought to be. But we need to be praying that even through the weakness of man, God would bless his word. We need to be a praying people because the sustenance that God gives is needed by us. Let us pray in expectance for it. God feeds his people through preaching. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The church is built through preaching. The Lord said in Isaiah that my word shall not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish my purpose. We can think of Peter, John 21. He was tasked to feed the lambs, to feed the Lord's sheep. What a task that is. We could say much more about that. But here in this psalm, we're reminded of God's sovereignty. We are reminded of his sufficiency. We're reminded of his sustenance because all these things go into the Lord building the house, the Lord building the church. Dear believer, pray that God would build his house, that you would, by his grace, endeavor to do what you can for the glory of God and for the cause of Christ. Someone once wrote, if God build not the house and lay the groundwork sure, whoever built, it cannot stand one stormy day if God be not the city's shield. May he be our shield. May he build, but also may he keep. May he keep us. May he keep our hearts. May he keep us from sin. May he keep us from all those things that will hinder his work. May that be our prayer, that God would be in the midst, that as we build, as we watch, as we seek to keep, that God would be there through it all. Let us put him first. Let us labor for him, for his name's sake.
Today's Spurgeon devotional is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse 23. The Word of God says, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Spurgeon entitles his devotional today, ye are Christ's. Ye are Christ's. You're his by donation. For the Father gave you to the Son, his by his bloody purchase, for he counted down the price for your redemption, his by dedication, for you have consecrated yourself to him, his by relation, for you are named by his name, and made one of his brethren and joint heirs. Labour practically to show the world that you are the servant, the friend, the bride of Jesus. When tempted to sin, reply, I cannot do this great wickedness, for I am Christ's. Immortal principles forbid the friend of Christ to sin. When wealth is before you to be won by sin, say that you are Christ's and touch it not. Are you exposed to difficulties and dangers? Stand fast in the evil day, remembering that you are Christ's. Are you placed where others are sitting down idly, doing nothing? Rise to the work with all your powers, and when the sweat stands upon your brow and you are tempted to loiter, cry, No, I cannot stop, for I am Christ's. If I were not purchased by blood, I might be like Issachar, crouching between two burdens, but I am Christ's and cannot loiter. When the siren's song of pleasure would tempt you from the path of right, reply, Thy music cannot charm me. I am Christ's. When the cause of God invites thee, give thy goods and thyself away, for thou art Christ's. Never belie thy profession. Be thou ever one of those whose manners are Christian, whose speech is like the Nazarene, whose conduct and conversation are so redolent of heaven that all who see you may know that you are the Saviour's, recognizing in you his features of love and his countenance of holiness. I am a Roman, was of old a reason for integrity. Far more, then, let it be your argument for holiness. I am Christ's. I trust that that devotional was a blessing to you. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and you have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for tuning in with us today, and we welcome you back tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station as we consider the Word of God together. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again tomorrow on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's Word.